All right. Thank you again for your support. This team is composed of six primary people, and Wayne Pollard, who is not here with us, he is 74 years old, going to Africa. And so I don't know what your excuse is, but it's not old age, I'm going to tell you that much. So we have 47 to 74, and our primary work is to help to encourage the on-the-ground missionaries. That's number one. Number two, we're going to be working with BEADS. We're going to be working with preschoolers. We're going to be training area pastors. We're going to be working with their staff and whatever else God would put in front of us. I want to let you know that what happens within this campus does not stay here within this campus. Okay, there's lots more going on, and we are partnering with ministries and missionaries throughout the world. And I want you to recognize that. When you give financially, when you participate congregationally, when you send people to go, and when you go yourself, this room, this group of people stationed here in Rockford goes way beyond Rockford. And that should be exciting for you. That should be encouraging for you to understand your missions dollars, the dollars that you give, your prayers, your sending makes a difference. And we are going to have other teams. We're going to go to other places. We're going to continue to do that because I believe that God's heart is for the world. Would you agree with that, right? God so loved Rockford. That's it. Us special people. I know you're special, but there's other people in the world, right? God so loved the world. We are intentional about this, and it is a good thing that we are participating together. There's some that go that are on the ground, but those who send matter, and thank you for making a difference. We are continuing in our series on prayer, and it has been a longer series, and that's intentional. My hope is that your prayer life has changed, improved, expanded. If it has not, you need to go back and look at the notes. You need to examine Scripture. You need to look at your own heart. What is happening here? Because none of what we do will have any eternal difference if the Holy Spirit isn't working in what we're doing. We need God to move among us. All we can bring to the altar is like wet wood. And without God's fire, without God's presence, without God showing himself through us, asking him to show himself, all we have is soggy logs. That's the truth. No matter how smart we are, no matter how gifted we are, no matter how resourced we are in desperate need of God's Spirit moving among us. And if you're unaware of that fact, my hope is that you would become more aware of your and my and our need for God working in our hearts. You cannot live the Christian life without God's empowering presence in your life. You cannot transform yourself into the image of the Son of God. You need God's help. You understand that we have a creator, a father, a God who invites us into his presence, who tells us to engage with him, who says, bring your requests to me. And God chooses to work in response to prayer. Now, granted, God in his sovereignty does move because of his plan, and he chooses to engage this plan through his church. When we look at the book of Acts, and by the way, the book of Acts follows the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It is a chronology of the church. It is a description and also a prescription of what the church was doing back then. And if you have read the book of Acts, if you read the Gospels, I encourage you just to go quickly through the book of Acts and just mark every time where there was prayer. You'll find on every page, if you have a highlighter, that you'll highlight something on every page. Oh, this is where the church prayed. This is where they're praying. It happens after page, after page, after page, after page. They were dependent on and intentionally gave themselves to prayer. And God moved powerfully. He moved mightily. He moved expansively among them. And I have to ask, do we not see that type of movement in our church, in our times? Is it because we lack the fervency and priority of prayer? Now, every Christian, every church would say that prayer is important. If you drive down the street, if you are going around churches today, and there are churches meeting all over this place, every church, I believe, would say that prayer is important. We say that because we would think that, but the question is not, do we think it's important? Do we make it important by actually participating and connecting with God? That's the question. So I don't think you and I have to be convinced that prayer is important. I think we have to make it a priority. And that's the prayer. That is my hope. I believe that is God's hope for this congregation and his people throughout the world. And so we have to decide, are we going to be a people of prayer? You have to decide what role prayer is going to make and be in your life, what place it's going to be, if you're going to make time for it. Now, prayer can happen spontaneously, and often we pray automatically when we are in a crisis. And you say amen, right? Phone call, cancer, phone call, car wreck, phone call that something happens. Usually people pray, right? But where are we in the greater context of what God wants to do in the world? Where are we in our prayer life in when things are going good? I would like to see prayer from this place more than a token thing that we believe and something that we just kind of do, that we invest ourselves in it. And so I can preach my guts out and can say, hey, will you come? You have to decide if prayer is important. Okay? That is up to you. Do you engage with the invitation with the creator of the world, or do you not? When the church says, hey, we're going to pray together, where are you at, Jack? So let's examine some of the prayers in the book of Acts. And just this last week, I was going to preach on a different passage, went to Acts, and say, wow, I can pray about, preach about all these things. And then one passage in particular caught my attention, and this is where we're going to camp. I can tell you about in Acts, every time they commissioned someone for ministry, they did just what we did. They prayed. Every time they're looking for church leaders, they prayed, and God showed them. Every time they needed God to show up, be it deliverance, or be it proclaiming the word of God boldly, be it something, they prayed, and God moved. But if they would not have prayed, would have God moved in that way? My answer to that would be, no, he would not have. So if you want to see more of God's activity, his presence, the effect of his working in your life, in our life collectively, in this region and in the world, then we have to do our part in stepping up and saying, God, will you move? There is no revival in the history of the world that was not precipitated by constant, deliberate prayer. Not one. So where are we at, church? Where are we at? Well, we say God loves the world, so if we believe that every person needs to hear, are we praying about that? I can't imagine in eternity I'm going to say, wow, I wish I would have prayed less. Right? I don't think anyone's going to say that. Right? You know what the early apostles devoted themselves to? Prayer and the word, proclaiming the word of God. Devoted themselves to. If I asked you what you're devoted to, what would you respond? Sleep? Meals? Movies? Your grandkids? Your spouse? In one sense, we want to be devoted to each other relationally. Are we devoted to God relationally? What you do matters. It matters. It matters what happens on this planet, and it can make a difference for eternity. So let us look at what really matters. We can spend our time lots of different ways. Everyone can pray, right? Amen, Pastor. Well, amen, right? Everyone can pray. Go to nursing homes. I've gone to a lot of nursing homes where people have physical limitations. Their time isn't done. I say, hey, can you pray? The answer always is yes. Then do that. I think sometimes God has to arrest us so that all of the distractions of our life are put aside so we can pray. When I say arrest us, that sometimes is physically, right? Where people are put in jail. Sometimes that is health-wise, where we have to back up because we're so busy, right? And then we look, a reassess of what really matters. So we're going to look at one passage today. This is Acts chapter 4. Go ahead, open your Bible, flip to it, scroll over to it, Acts chapter 4. And this is early on in the book of Acts. And if you know about this book, you'll remember that Jesus ascended. He did his ministry. He said, hey, wait until I send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the church was gathered together. What were they doing? Praying. And God sent his empowering presence and enabled them to speak the word of God boldly in different languages. And God moved about with them in signs and wonders. Now, the early apostles, and in this passage, we see both Peter and John going out and proclaiming Christ and that he was resurrected. Make sure that you remember that, the power of the resurrection. And this was not a popular thing to preach in that city at that time, because Jesus had been just crucified, and it was the leading religious people at that age were jealous. They said, you know, all of that stuff. They're the ones that set this up so he could be crucified. And then he was saying, these guys were preaching in the synagogue, the massive Jewish temple, that Jesus indeed was resurrected. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who had religious office and governmental office, did not want to hear this. Because if Jesus indeed had been resurrected, then they were wrong to crucify him. And so there was massive pushback to this message. And these guys have witnessed with their own eyes the cruelty of the cross. And they knew in preaching this message that that may indeed be their fate. And most of them, well, all of them suffered for this message. And yet they stepped up to proclaim. And as they went to their daily prayer meeting, right before this passage, they saw a man who had been disabled. And he's around 40 years old. Silver and gold have I none. Remember that? He was a beggar. But what I have, I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk. He stood up. It was a massive miracle in the sight of all of these people. As they proclaimed the word of God, there was confirmation of God's authority in these type of miracles. This caught the attention of the people, of the higher ups. They brought Peter and John in. They questioned them. They're going to punish them. But all of the people, they were scared of the people, said, you know what, this was a miracle, and they were praising God, so they let them go. In the meanwhile, the church was praying, and the title of this message is When the Church Prays. They were praying. And we're going to look at just quickly four things from this passage about how they prayed from this passage. And I hope that you would adopt these things. I hope that you would devote yourself to prayer, however that looks like for you. This is the first thing that I want to recognize in this passage. This is Acts 4. We're going to start with verse 23. This is the first thing. Pray, acknowledging the authority and sovereignty of God. Now let's read this and pay attention to what they're saying and praying here. Verse 23. When they were released, that is Peter and John, They went to their friends, that was the church, and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, Sovereign Lord," underline one of God's titles, one of Christ's titles, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles," those non-Jewish peoples, "why do they rage? Why do the people," that's all of the peoples, "why do they plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed." This is Psalm 2, verse 27. "For truly, in this city," that is Jerusalem, "there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate was against him, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do," check this out, "whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." You have to recognize that they recognize, and I'm asking us to recognize, God's authority and God's sovereignty. God has all authority. You know why? He created all things. That means he's the owner and he can do what he wants with anything and everything, everywhere, at every time. I want that to sink into your theology, to understand God's place as one who has all authority and is also sovereign. They acknowledge this, that God owns everything. They acknowledge that he can do anything. And they acknowledge that even in those that are going to be against Christ, God ordained or predestined that. And these are significant theological terms. God predicted what was going to happen, and his plan and his hand made it happen. Now, there are arguments and there's understandings. Where does God's sovereignty meet with our freedom or our prayers? And there's lots of different debates about this, but two things are definitely true. Number one, God is sovereign. He can move and act and interact anywhere at any time, however he wants. This is true. What also is true is that God listens to your prayers. Do you understand that? And these things intersect and they interact, and it makes a difference on this planet. So you have a sovereign God, and they acknowledge this God, our Father, who is powerful, who is sovereign, who is good, and who listens. They started with that. Even in the midst of resistance, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of being called out for proclaiming this message, they recognized that God was sovereign in things. I want you to think this way. Theologically, God is sovereignly moving on the earth. Think about the implications of this, and also that God responds to prayer. So I want us to acknowledge that when we are praying to our Father, he hears, he has power to move, he has power to change things. We're not praying to an idol or something we set up and hope that it will deliver us. It's ridiculous. Our God is real, he is active, he is alive, he is sovereign, and he is responsive. Pray, acknowledging his authority. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray this way, and this church and that church acknowledged these things. God is active even today. Understand this. Now, I want us to look at what they prayed for. So how would they pray? How would you pray? They pray together. Next point. Pray the word of God would be spoken with boldness. Let's look at what is recorded for us in verse 29 of Acts 4. And now as they were praying together, Lord, and now Lord, look upon their threats, those who are threatening us. Look upon their threats, and then will you grant us, your servants, boldness to continue to speak your word. Grant us your power, God. Give us boldness to speak your word. Does it require boldness in that context to speak the word of God? Yes. Does it require boldness in our context? Depends, but often, yes. And notice what they were speaking. They weren't speaking their opinions, right? They weren't speaking their political positions. They weren't speaking self-help things. The priority was to speak the word of God. I think our country has the issues that it is seeing because the pulpits are not speaking the word of God boldly. Look at church history. Look at the history of this country. Why do places don't focus on the word of God? Because sometimes it's offensive. Sometimes it's contradictory to the things society believe. And it is easy, if you're standing behind a pulpit, to look around and saying, well, there's bills to pay. We want bigger crowds. And we want all these things. And so we're going to stay away from things that are offensive and focus on things that are easy listening to the ears. God loves you and has a great plan for your life. And he does. Sometimes that plan is difficult. Don't tell me that, Pastor. Don't tell me that I need to repent of sin because I don't want to be responsible because I'm born this way. We're all born sinners. We don't want to talk about the resurrection. We don't want to talk about following Christ. We don't want to talk about, sometimes it is stinking hard. But it's worth it. And so if you pray, when you pray, okay, pray that the word of God is spoken boldly. By the way, anything you do in public, you're going to take shots about it. Right? You will take shots. And it happens. They asked for boldness. These were people who were with Christ. We need to pray also for boldness. To do what? To speak the word of God. So I'm asking you to pray that the word of God first will be spoken with boldness. In my life, in your life, in the church's life. Thirdly, pray God would stretch out his hand through the name of Jesus. So first, they acknowledge his sovereignty. Second, they ask God, give us boldness to speak your words. Third, look at this prayer, verse 30. Let us pray. Let's connect it to the other verse. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your words with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your Holy Spirit, the Holy Servant Jesus. They ask God that he would stretch out his hand. Every time in the Gospels, every time in Acts, when something supernatural happens, unexplainable happens, there is a bona fide miracle. Someone's eyes are open, they were blind and now they're not, right? They were lame and now they're not. They couldn't speak and now they could, right? Every time that took place, it is accompanying with and connected to the word of God being proclaimed. Jesus says that, I forgive your sins, and he was talking, it says, so that you would believe that I have authority to forgive sins, rise up and walk. There are times, in particular, in power cultures, cultures that look at power as a premium in their culture, we'll see God moving with power to confirm the word of the Lord. There are skeptics in our land that Jesus is the Christ. There are skeptics that the Holy Spirit is actually working today. They prayed this prayer, and I'm asking us to pray this prayer. It is a scary prayer. It's a good prayer. It's a powerful prayer. So they said, God, help us to proclaim the word of God with boldness. And God, as we do this, will you stretch out your hand, heal people. May there be various signs and wonders, God, that are performed not through the faith of some preacher, but because of the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You hearing me? This isn't modern day crusades in which the name of the preacher is exalted higher than the name of Christ. That's a problem. I would like to see more of this. I don't know about you. Maybe you've got your fill of miracles. God, help us to have the boldness to pray this way. God, when we speak your word, will you stretch out your hand and confirm that you have the authority over all things? By the way, all physical healings now are temporary. The eternal healing will come. All signs and wonders now are important, but they'll all be changed then. These are signs saying that Jesus has authority to back up what he is saying, what the word says. Should we pray this way? Absolutely. And I don't think we do that often. Fourthly, and this is the last point, we're going to do a little interview at the end of this. Pray, expecting to see God moving among us. Pray that way. If we pray that way during the week, I think we will be pretty excited to come to church on Sunday just to see what's going to happen. Right? Wouldn't you want that type of anticipation? God, we are praying all week, God, that you would show up on Sunday, would show up when we gather together, right? And then we would come with expectations versus evaluating the preacher and the service and the songs and the carpet and the coffee, right? Who cares? This is not about your evaluation. It's about your anticipation of what God will do. Amen, Pastor. I'm going to amen myself, right? I think church would be much more exciting if we were like praying all week and said, God, what are you going to do? Will you talk to these people? Will you change my heart? Will you bind us together? Will you bring lost people to yourself? Will you meet needs of $1,000? Will you bring people together? God, I'm so excited to see what you're going to do. I love us to come to church with like a giddy 3-year-old on Christmas morning. Can't wait to see what's under the tree. When's the last time you came to church like that? You're meddling, Pastor. I love you. When's the last time? When's the last time that you anticipated something different than the same old? It'll happen more often, and you'll see it way more often if you're praying for it. So get going. Pray for it. Well, Pastor, you know. Don't give me you know. You get on your knees all week and then come talk to me. Pray expecting to see God moving among us. This is what we pray at 9 o'clock. You're invited to that prayer meeting, by the way. There's room for you. Well, it's an hour early. Oh, you poor thing. What time do you go to work? I got to be there at 8 o'clock. This starts at 9. You get to sleep in on Sundays. Verse 31, Acts 4. And when they had prayed, okay, these are some of the results. So we're going to look at some of this passage here. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. I love it if we'd have to make all the churches earthquake proof just because the places shake when we pray. When they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken. An audible, visible, physical sign. God's authority. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So what are we seeing here? Three things, and we're going to see a few more, four more, as we continue through this passage. These are the results of prayer. Number one, the place was shaken. There it is. The place was shaken, right? What does that mean? Was it physically shook? The answer would be yes. It was shaken. Wasn't just a regular earthquake. It was a supernatural response to saying, I hear you. One of the things God does is shake the heavens and the earth. This is talking in context like a sifter. Things that are eternal will stand, but things that are temporal will fall. And we have to ask God, will you show yourself among us with physical manifestations, but also that you would help us to understand how powerful you are and that you are mighty to save. Place was shaken. I've never been in a prayer meeting in which there was a physical earthquake. Now, am I seeking that? No, I'm seeking God moving. And if he wants to do that, so be it. But God, we need to see your power working among us. And God responded. And they weren't even praying. They were just praying, God, help us to pray, to proclaim your word with boldness. God, help us stretch out your hand. He says, I'm on it. So the place was shaken. Number two, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These were already believers. They had the Holy Spirit that was transforming them, and then God empowered them with his presence to do things. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. We are leaky vessels, right? We're called vessels. God pours in so that we can pour out. Then we need more of God's presence and recognizing God's power does not germinate with you. It germinates with him. It starts with him. All we are is vessels. God, will you fill me with your presence so that it'll be poured out in my heart and poured out in these relationships, in these connections. You need more of God's Spirit working in your life. I need it. These folks, you say, well, they don't need the Holy Spirit. God just poured out on them on Acts 2, and he did. And then he poured out again, and then he poured out again, and he poured out again, and he poured out again, and he poured out again. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Yes, this is God's empowering presence. And God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And let's pray, God, fill us with your Spirit as they did what? continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Answers to prayer. The place was shaken. There was manifestations. They were filled with the Spirit. Number three, they were empowered to speak the word of God boldly. And because of God's response to their prayers, because they were praying the will of God, he answered their prayers, and they were enabled, they were equipped, they were empowered to speak the word of God with boldness. And again, if you're in a party, if you're in a 4th of July gathering, if you're in a family situation, or if you're at work, or you're at school, or whatever, we don't want to bring up anything controversial, so we don't necessarily want to talk about it. We want them to know that we're Christians by our love, which is true, but you have to speak the word of God. It's not just pastors' jobs, right? I have a specific burden and responsibility to do that. I'll have to give account for every word I speak up here, and it is scary, right? But they weren't saying, God, disequip the pastors to speak of the word of God with boldness, that every person would speak the word of God with boldness. That's you. It's me. In order for us to speak the word of God with boldness, we have to know the word of God. Have you ever heard me say, read your Bible? Has anyone ever heard me say that? Pastor, feed me. Are you an infant? Feed yourself. I'll help you. Adults feed themselves. Ooh, you're hurting me. Well, let's talk honestly. Right? I'll help. I pray. I prepare. I do all that. To God, work among us. I have a responsibility. They gave themselves over. The first church to the word of God, the apostles' teaching. I'm not saying I'm an apostle. Right? That was a part of it. But we have a responsibility. I think we need a revival of the word of God in our hearts. They were empowered to speak the word of God boldly. This is boldly in response to their prayer. Let's continue to see. Let's continue to read, right? And these are important things as well, okay? We have supernatural. We have God filling. We have the word of God being proclaimed. But what else took place here? And these are important things to observe that God was working. Verse 32. Let's go to this next section, okay? I'll go quickly through this. Now the full number, this is verse 32, Acts 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. That's a miracle, right? Churches being together as one heart and soul. What? And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. What? They had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. These are miracles, responses to prayer. They were of one heart and mind. There's unity in the church, and it's beautiful when that happens. Church contentionness, and as far as I know, we have very, very little here, and that's God's work among us, right? But churches gathering together is powerful. It's beautiful. Saying, we're going to do this. We're going to give. We're going to go. We're going to pray. We're going to connect. We're going to live this thing out together. That's a miracle. They're in one heart and mind. That's miraculous. Why did that happen? Because they prayed. Next thing, they were generous and cared for one another. One of the outworkings of the Spirit of God working among us is that we are generous. And by and large, this church is generous. And I say amen to that. That is God moving on people's hearts saying that this money, one, is in response to God's asking of me, and then it's better invested in the kingdom of God versus any kingdom around. Y'all are doing that. That's a miracle. God, help us to do this more so that the message will be proclaimed in various places throughout the world. That's a miracle. They were generous, and they cared for one another. And you see this in this passage. If you read a little bit below, they took care of one another. They helped each other with jobs and with finances and with help and with hammers and with gifts and all of these. They loved each other. materially. That's an answer to prayer. Next thing, they continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their focus was on the resurrection of the Lord. The identity of who Christ is, that is paramount for all of the discussions that we have and all the social issues and all this type of stuff. Is Jesus who he said he was? That's number one, right? Said he was God. They said, and he said he was resurrected, said he was going to come again. Is he either a moral teacher or is he God of the universe? And by the way, if he lied about his resurrection and being the way and the truth and the life, the only way to the Father, he's not a very moral teacher either, is he? He's either God or he's not. That's what people out here need to understand. Who is Christ? Was he resurrected? Because if he is God and there was a resurrection, that's the most important thing. But if it doesn't, then nothing really matters at all, because we're all just going to die and float and whatever. Right? That matters. And the fact that they continue to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If you understand anything in theology, please understand the importance of Christ and his resurrection. Last thing we see in this passage. God's grace was upon them all. Do you like that statement? Beautiful statement. You need God's grace to get up in the morning. You say amen, right, brother? We need God's grace to deal with your nasty neighbor, and you have them. Mario's like, heck yeah. And hopefully the nasty neighbor isn't you. God's grace was among them. This congregation is completely weird. Do you know that? That's a laughing point. We're weird. We got old people. We got babies. We got different colors of skin. We have different languages. We have different education levels. We have different abilities. This congregation, if you went around Rockford, is weird in all the right ways. Right? This wouldn't happen without God's Spirit happening. Come on, right? Wouldn't happen. God's grace. Well, Dave, we want to see the signs and wonders. I can say amen. But you also need to see the sign and wonder of grace upon us all, right? To be in relationships. Just in the prayer meeting today. And why don't you guys come on up here? I'm going to do a little interview with these two. The Smiths, if you can make your way. They were saying they haven't been here for 4 weeks because of sicknesses and travels and all types of stuff. And they said they came into the building today, and they got one hug after another. Jackie could barely make it to prayer meeting on time because there's so many hugs happening.
I'd say amen all day.
Amen. Come on now. So I'm bringing these guys up here. Go ahead here. Larry, come on up. I'll sit in one. I'm going to give you microphones. So I'm doing a really brief interview with these two because of a room that y'all need to see over here. It's called the prayer room. It's my favorite room in this whole entire building. This room is favorite. That room's more favorite. Okay? It's more favorite. And so I want you to know how this prayer room came about, what the point of it is. And by the way, we are we're moving our Monday night prayer meeting in there. Oh, here you go, Larry. Wait, I got to turn this on. Okay, it's on. We're good? Okay, so our Monday night prayer meeting is happening there. August 7th, our all church prayer meeting is happening here, because I hope we need this many seats, okay? So tell us about that prayer room, how it came to be, what was the heart behind it, and what's happened and why it's here.
Go ahead. I can blame Pastor Bill Patterson because he spoke, and he spoke about prayer. And when he did, he said, if anyone has a concern, we have put a table and a couple of chairs in the back room behind the piano, and it's a place for you to pray. The next morning, Monday morning, I woke up early and The Lord said to me, prayer can't be very important, can it, if it's a back room or set up temporarily.
Wow.
From there, it was a piece of paper I wrote asking that, first of all, the Holy Spirit didn't let me just think that. A note went to the pastor, and it was at that time not suggested a good idea to have a prayer room. About a year later, there was a movie, and it was The War Room. Larry and I saw it Saturday night. Sunday, we were sitting out in the cafe, and by the way, you didn't ask for this, but that cafe has a special name, and it's called Common Ground. It's called Common Ground because that's where the conversation begins. It's not meant there to fill your stomach. It's not meant there to socialize, but to begin a ministry. After you talk about common ground, the next thing you talk about is common concerns, opportunities for prayer, and sharing Jesus Christ. So that is a stepping stone. It is not a social place. Back to the prayer room. Sunday morning, Larry and I were having coffee in the cafe, and I heard someone say, I saw the prayer room or the war room. Our church needs a prayer room. Oh, I thought, fantastic. Turned around, it happened to be Bob Carlson, who is, at that time, he was elder in the church. I hadn't thrown my paper away. I grabbed it, we talked. A year and a half later, there's a prayer room. God's hand, out of nowhere, four people that had been in this church who at that time were not attending temple sent checks that covered the $10,000 that it took to renovate that room. And if I went over, someone else came to my rescue. The Lord's hand on it was so unbelievable, step by step. When you walk into the room, it's nothing stands out. Nothing will interrupt your time of prayer. On the left, you will see on the wall why you are to pray, how you're to pray. Be anxious for nothing. And then on the right, you will see to whom you are to pray. To him who is able to give, oh, how could I forget that? Immeasurably, without limit, without any limit to your imagination, all that you ask or imagine. And when you think that all things are possible with God, that all jumps out as a huge opportunity. You cannot ask God. I've got to tell you one thing about the fellow that the Lord has given me as a mate. Other than twice when he's had surgery, this man has not missed a day of prayer, of reading the scripture and studying. So when the pastor preaches, we just say, been there, doing that, been there, doing that.
Great, good, come on.
It happens when you're old. The other last thing that I've always wanted to tell people, and Larry doesn't know this. Well, he knows it, but he doesn't know I'm gonna say it. I always said that the Lord gave me Larry as a mate in life to cause me to pray more. Hmm. Example, we went to Doggies Park in toward Chicago, Lake Michigan. And the dogs are playing and our grandkids are there. All of a sudden, I miss Larry. And I thought, where is he? And I walked around this big abutment in Lake Michigan, still didn't see him. And then my eyes hit a sailboat with the Coast Guard. And I said, there is your dad. There is Larry. He'd gone swimming in Lake Michigan and got caught in the riptide. But don't worry, it was a sailboat. It was a lifeboat, a life
They had a life preserver.
Anyways, the Coast Guard had me called, and it saved its life. The walk that we have with the Lord is without limitation, without. I can't encourage you anymore. We're old. We're at home most of the week. And this week, our mission field happened to be a fellow that came to clean the carpeting. And then a woman who came to the house to help out. And we had time to stop and pray with them. It is a life that is without limits. I can't encourage you enough. And before they give the mic away, one last thing. I look at you, many of you we've prayed for, but the bottom line is there is not one person in this room who does not have a mission field that they alone can accomplish. If it's a neighbor, if it's your family, if it's someone you meet when you work with, there is no limit. The Lord has reason for us on this side of eternity, and prayer is the beginning. Have I preached enough?
Come on, girl. That was good.
There you go. Good job. I hope that, yes, it is working. Okay. I just wanted to say that, of course, you know, and Pastor has preached this many, many times, that if the only thing, only time you pray is during the time you're in the prayer room, you're going to be sadly disappointed, because prayer obviously can be at any time, any place. You don't have to be in the prayer room to pray, that's for sure. But the prayer room is very special to me. One is that the fellowship that we have in there. There's only, well, it's varied from about 6 people to 16 people, you know. But we'd like to have the whole room full, and so we can hardly get you in there. But there's a lot of good things to remind you of whom to pray for. There's a globe right in the middle that I like to use. And sometimes I go in there and use the globe, and I think of various missionaries that are out in the field right now. Like, I know there's some from the Cross Point Church and some from maybe from the Myanmar. But there's also some that I know, like the Mains are in Japan right now. And I'll go to the globe there in the middle. And sometimes, well, I can't get down on my knees anymore because there is a kneeling bench right around the globe. And I'll find Japan, and I pray for the Mains. And then I find Uganda. It took me a while to find that, but anyhow, I found it. And I pray for Eric Holmberg and his family of 7 people that are out there. I just look at that. And then I go to Kenya, where Delameters are, Brian and Heather Delameter, and little Charlie. And so I remember them in prayer. So I use that globe, and that's a help. And then, as Jackie mentioned, I think the most important thing was the scripture. This is from Philippians 4:7, and I believe it's Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And I sometimes look at those and pray them back to the Lord. It's great to pray scripture that way. And so I want to encourage you to use the prayer room. And you'll find the fellowship is really great in there. We sometimes pray for each other, and I just would love to see the prayer room used more, that you'll make it a part of your life whenever you're in here. You don't have to wait till a Sunday. So
that's okay. Right. So that's right. Thank you guys so much for speaking. I'm going to have you pray before we go. But okay. Yeah, what that vision is an amazing thing, okay? And you have to understand what happens in this place and throughout 140 years happens in response to God working through prayer. And so places like this have been reserved. And so here's the deal. That room is going to be open all the time. This building is open. So if you're driving by, if you need to pray or you need to pray with someone or you need to spend some time with the Lord, okay, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, that's going to be open. If you want to come here other times of the day, we do have some time set aside. That room is there. Okay, so we're going to conclude the service. These guys are going to pray. They didn't know that. Okay, and, you know, we should probably exit everyone this way, but it's too small, so we can't do that. The prayer room is right over there. If you have not been there yet, okay, if you haven't been down this hallway down there, you should probably go down that hallway. Peek in. There's a family room. There's classrooms. Right here is a prayer room. Offices are behind this thing. I want you to go take a look at it, okay? This is a walkthrough. If you haven't looked at it, right, so I know there's a lot of us. We can't all go this way. But I want you to take a look at that place and know that it's just not a building, a place. Isn't this beautiful when we go on? No, it's put aside so it will help us to focus on connecting with God, okay? So that's important.
Yeah, if anybody can get down if I can get down that hallway, anybody can.
That's right. You have zero excuse.
And back again.
Okay. So okay. Can you pray? Sure. Will you pray in conclusion of the service?
Yeah.
And we'll see if we're going to sing or not. So please go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll pray first and then you can pray.
Okay.
Father, we just thank you for this church. It's been around here for a long, long time. Started out in downtown Rockford or in 7th Street. And I thank you that the gospel has been preached all these years and that you have been the main part of this church through the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for your love. Thank you for the strength you give us from day to day. And we pray that we might be ambassadors for you in the world today. I think of a electrician that came out, and we ended up praying with him. And another was a cleaned our rug, and we ended up praying with him. And that's just been very recent. So we thank you for these opportunities. And you talk about answers to prayer right away. We had a cleaning lady, and Father, she had a very bad wrist, and she couldn't clean. So that was one time when I prayed for it that it happened right away. It's the only time that seldom happens, but Father, it happened right away with her, and her wrist was well. It just amazed me. So, Father, I thank you for this church and the teachings of this church and the Sunday schools and everything else that's going on here. And we just lay this church in the palm of your hands, and especially the pastor and the shepherds and the other leaders that we have. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My precious Heavenly Father, we come to you as a body of believers. We come to you as people that desire to be in the center of your will. We come to you, Father, as people who would like to be busy about sharing Jesus Christ. And you made it so simple, and we make it so hard. The simple is seek after my heart. Share what the Lord has planted on your heart. Speak in love as to who Jesus Christ is. Father, you've given us all a story of what we have gone through to get us here. Help us to be bold in sharing that story. Right now, I really praise the pastor you brought into this body of believers, because he loves prayer and he loves action and he loves you so much. And now, Father, like everyone else in this group, I would just like to say, Father, open our hearts that we know what you want from us. Open our minds that we can see things as you see them. Open our mouths that we speak the truth of Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, are doing in our lives, and will continue to do until the day you call us home. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're going to do a couple things. It's time to go. Why don't you guys do a song? And so as they're doing this song, you can stay with the song. If you want special prayer for anything, if you just want time with the Lord, come up here, okay? You can sit on this bench. I'll pray with you. Other people will pray with you. These guys will pray with you. You guys just stay up here. And if you want to spend time with the Lord, just go do that. If you want special prayer for something, come up here. Talk to these guys. I think there's other folks that are going to be here. I'm going to be here. Other people will be here. And then, yeah, you can come right now. It's cool. And so they're going to pray. So then after, it's going to play. You can come up here. We'll pray for you as the song's going. If you got to go, go, okay? Go ahead and do that. And then at the very end, Rob will dismiss us, and these guys will be here if they want to pray. And go check out the prayer room, okay? Can we do that? Okay, so here's the deal. Let's go. So if you want some special prayers, come on up, and then you can stay, or if you need to go, go up right ahead. Okay?
So I'll share with you just for a second, and then we'll sing. So back in October of 2019, we had the first meetings about this merger to create Crosspoint. No one knew the name then, of course, and we were just deciding whether we were going to begin the process. And I remember being in that meeting, and I remember Dave and Ruby Matthew, and being in that with them, and all of the people that were there, and, you know, the moment we had when we stepped out of the meeting room, which was just back here, and we stepped into the prayer room, and we were in that atmosphere, and we began to gather in small groups of people from Mosaic Church and people from Temple. And it was a very special time where we just realized, you know, even in that moment that, you know what, we just really have the same desire to see God work. And these are people that love the Lord like I do, and they love the Lord, and we just made a connection. And that prayer room was a special part of that moment, just to know that it was set aside for us for that day, so it's a special thing. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to breathe something that's a boy that will bless your heart. Bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you ever require. You search much deeper with it through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it, when it's all about you. About you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and I'm poor, all I have is yours. every single breath. Bring you more. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. For when it's all about you, about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. But when it's all about you, it's all about you. Bring our prayers to you, God. Ask you to change us, Lord, in whatever ways we need, God. You know these things. You know each heart. You know where each one is today, God. Lord, Build us up in prayer, God. Build our prayer life, Lord. Strengthen us. Help us, God. We naturally don't do these things on our own, God. So we ask you to move. Lord, we open ourselves to you today, God. You're looking into our hearts, Lord. You see what's there. We bring it before you, God, silently, vocally, with hearts focused on you, God. You, God, more than we realize. God, have your way in us. And the people all together would say,